Okay. It's 7 o'clock.
I guess we can call a meeting order if I hear somebody saying call a meeting order.
Call a meeting order, sir.
Call a meeting order.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Second.
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Let's all stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. Right there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Now it's time to take. We'll take a moment of silence for everything going on and pray for wisdom for the leadership here. Okay. Well, the first thing we normally do, I didn't expect any citizens here, but does anybody here have any?
This virus trying to keep citizens away.
No, keep the citizens away.
This is a stolen virus.
We've been staring the pot since he's been here, right?
Who started this mess?
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Okay. Let's keep it in order.
Shut up.
All right, so does anybody in the audience have anything to bring up?
I do. Okay, about the light.
Okay.
How did we get the light? I mean, what made us get a light?
Because that circle's dark.
Okay, it is.
Okay, and we're trying to improve the safety
of the city.
Of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
We've been putting lights. If you'll notice, you go down Heathville.
Yeah, I never go down there. But
we put a new light there, but we don't have one at the end yet. We're working. They're about to get theirs.
Okay.
The same thing on Luray. We put one in, but you can't see down to the end.
Oh.
And with the new lights, it makes it real difficult because they're LCDs and they shine pretty good. And when they're sitting in the middle of the street, you can't see down the street. That's... You still have an older light at the corner there by Dennis's, but those lights are going to be changed out. Once those lights get changed out, we won't be able to see that in that street. And by having that light out there, you all can start turning your porch lights off. You don't have to be spending your porch light money.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It will shine up the circle, and it will take care of problems.
Okay. Okay, I get you. Now... When the LCD goes there and work, will they leave the lines? Do they put the lines back together?
Yeah.
They gotta run. They do.
They repair
the. Oh yeah, you won't even see it.
Okay. Anybody here knows?
Well, you may see it.
I am
because I'm Lorraine.
You know,
I'm Lorraine. They open the ground though, but they put grass seed on it.
Yeah, they
put all that.
Yeah, on the side.
Watching from this distance.
Okay. Yeah, they put they make it just so you can't even see it.
Okay.
I mean, you got to kind of trench it, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's just a little narrow trench, okay?
Okay?
You know, once they trench it and then they put it all back in, they seed it, put hay over the top of it, and take care of it.
If you drive down to the Heathville where they put in the new light and the rain, will probably not even be able to tell where they went in the trench.
Okay, I just needed to know.
No, we take care of you.
Yeah. Well,
all right,
Mayor, I see you taking care of
it.
And look, if we're not satisfied, we know where to come every day.
All you gotta do is be
okay.
You be outside each night at 2:15 to 2:30, and you can stop me at any time. We got a guy on Luray. I mean, there's a couple down there that throws a party every night.
Every night. Oh,
every night they're still going. It's like two or three couples down there, and they're in front of the driveway.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
On Luray?
Yeah. Not on Luray. On the Heathville.
I'm on Rustford.
Blue?
Huh?
Is that bad for me?
No, it's always should be blue. That way you can tell us in the middle.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. Anything else from the audience? All right. If not, we can move along.
Okay.
Well, I have a question.
I just need a few questions answered.
The Reverend Jim here was going to draft something about renters and have a like a survey for each person, each household, and how many people were supposed to be on that document.
Right.
Have you done that?
We have a rental registration. And there are still a few out, but we have got the majority of the rental properties already taken care of.
The notorious house, are they?
On Rustburg?
Yeah. They turned it in?
Yeah.
All right.
They also turned in the one they own on Ludenburg, too.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah, so they turned it in both. And if you haven't noticed, they're not happy campers over there, okay?
Well, they've been very quiet, but I think it's the quiet before the storm.
Oh, no.
That's the way I feel, you know. I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way. The landlord got an email that two weeks ago.
Okay. So, that's good.
Okay. And I got a phone call.
Very colorful phone call.
Yeah.
It is.
And it wasn't from the landlord.
Court?
I got a phone call from the guy at Rustburg.
Okay.
From the owner?
From Evan.
From the renter?
He's an upstanding citizen, I assure you.
He's an upstanding citizen?
Oh, yeah, he is upstanding. He's got a very strong verbal vocabulary.
Oh, I bet he does.
Yeah, he learned from his face.
Anyhow,
very colorful.
Yeah, I bet he is.
He has plenty to say.
And his children are so different from his.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else from Rustburg Court?
No, we're good now. We got the lights on.
All right. Did everybody get a chance to look at the city meeting minutes?
Yes,
sir. Anybody have any objections or any corrections? Or all right, do I hear a motion to accept them?
Make a motion to accept the city meeting
for April. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor accept the minutes for April 21st city meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. All right. The financial reports, they weren't around. They're also, like, the minutes are on the website. Was there any questions on the financial reports? As I put in my little note when I sent it, Dan transferred the funds last week from the road fund to the general fund.
And so that's the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one. And that's the reason why it didn't show up like that on the April financial report. It'll be on the May financial report where you'll see it. The decrease in the road fund account to match up with what was transferred to the general fund.
Okay.
And was there any other, we'll get there in a second. There's an agenda. Yes, ma'am.
The situation you were talking about and the people partying at 2 a.m., they advised you to call 311. Do we not have a off-duty element? No longer.
No, I'll talk to you about that after the meeting.
Okay.
All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the financial report for April?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor accepting the April financial report, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous. Okay. We've already passed around the invoice reimbursement, receipt stuff. That's all been signed off.
Yes.
So we can move from there.
I guess
there was no corrections because I didn't hear any gripes. So, okay.
We decided we'd do it. Everybody would do it before you got here.
I see.
Okay. Now it's time for the city attorneys. And
I'm sorry we're putting a tie on, but I thought it might not look right.
All right. We got a wonderful mayor. We got a wonderful mission. I think that, at least in my life, this probably is causing a lot of stress. But regardless, this is ordinance number 2, series 2020, City of Williams Hills, Kentucky. A tax ordinance is July 1, 2020. It's June 20, 2021. Be ordained by the City of Williams Hills Commission that Section 1, pursuant to KRS 92.50520(4), the City of Williams Hills, Kentucky, shall adopt evaluations of the Jefferson County Property Valuation Reserve, the land improvements located in the city boundaries for the 7/1/20 to 6/30/21 fiscal year. Section 2 of the City of Williams tax at 0.2047, which is the same that it's been for a number of years, for $100 is hereby levied against the combined value of land and improvements of each applicable form. 3. The ad valorem tax is levied to generate city revenue sufficient to timely meet budget needs and effectuate efficient and effective city governance. 4. The tax payments received by the city are as follows. The tax bills usually go out in early July. So if the taxpayer pays in July, they get a 2% discount of the base tax. In August, it's equal to the base tax. In September, it's 11% assessed penalty. For each following month, but it's not paid, it's 1%. So after July 30th, 20, the tax is equal to the assessed value plus 11% plus 1% monthly interest thereof beginning October 2020 until interest and principal are paid in full. 5. The city may charge tax not less than $150 to pay the city attorney for each successful tax collection. In the past, it used to be that I would send a letter, and if they didn't pay for a while, I'd call them, and if not, then we would file a tax lien. The recording fee has gone up to $46. And then when you file a mass, then they add to it. So this order shall become effective July 1, 2020 upon its passage approval of publications required by law. Pass approved at the May 19, 2020 monthly city meeting of the city commission pursuant to law. Robert, the only thing I changed is that if instead of reviewed, prepared.
Okay.
If you don't have the word prepared, they won't.
All right. Well, since I typed it up, that's why I put it in the that's fine. All right. Is there any question about why we kept the rate the same? Okay. Do I hear a motion to pass ordinance number 2, series 2020, the tax ordinance for 2020 property tax? Do I hear a motion?
I move.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Fidel. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Because this is an ordinance, we have to do a roll call vote. So I'll start with Commissioner Fidel.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner McCaff?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Mayor Stoneham, yes. Okay. That's all we have, Steve.
I'm going to sign it in blue, and then I'm going to pass it on.
Okay.
You're going to publish this?
I'll put together a little thing for the Courier Journal and send it down. So it gets you okay, and then we'll put it on the internet.
If you guys need anything, want me to bring back pizzas or anything, otherwise I gotta go.
Don't get mad when you get it.
We're gonna have another one this next month.
All right.
I almost had to break his arm. Alright, old business. Any old business we need to bring up?
Would the lot, the additional lights fall under old business?
Yeah, you can bring it up.
Okay.
May I assume that you just said it was okay for okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you as far as the dollar amount, because that's going to be different.
Well, that was one of the things when I talked to him, okay. If we don't have to, that's one of the reasons why I went there. If we don't have to borrow, then there's not much, might not be hardly any cost at all.
Well, good.
If anything at all.
$1,000, can I still go ahead and?
Yeah, we're if we, he already knows that, okay. And when we had the train out there, I mean, there was like six vehicles out there. They had the contractor, they had the supervisors, they had everybody out there.
I asked him to send everybody he could, because I knew he'd be meeting with you.
And
so
yeah, it was quite a parade, okay. And the thing that I was getting out of it, if they don't have to burrow under anything, then we don't have that much cost. It's them driveways that cost, or the $400, $500, $800, whatever it was. It was running it up there. And I told him, I said, we can't go there. I said, you've got to stay under $1,000. So he said, well, if we can use what we got, because they actually trunched into the backyards of all these places.
Well, they did some of that the day I was out there with them. And so did the other man before he retired when we first started the project.
Right.
We thought we had looked at every possible location, but there again, if it's money involved, you might find a different location altogether.
Right. And they, like I said, we talked to
mm-hmm.
Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr.
And we talked to Ali.
Ali,
and then we talked to somebody over on Luray, but we haven't been able to get back with. You know, he's not.
He says doesn't think that's gonna.
Yeah, well, we've got the neighbor next door, and she's 90 something years old or something. But anyhow, we're gonna probably end up back over.
But she's been in good health. I just talked to her today.
We'll get her before.
No, she's just been sick. I don't think it's.
Well, you guys keep me in the loop on what's going on.
Yeah, we'll keep you in the loop. We break up these problem children over on the relay. They don't care about how dark it is in their circle.
I can't believe I've been working on this light project since February.
Well, nothing goes fast. Nothing goes fast in the
government. But you have gotten several, and I appreciate it.
We got six in.
Yes.
And they look great. If you haven't been around to seeing Queen Anne's, is now light.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That used to be a dark street.
When I do my light check, I sometimes tell people, our little city lit up like Times Square. Not quite, but when we get all those LEDs,
it's
going to
be bright. Okay.
So the one on the corner, the older one, will be replaced then on the...
When they need to be replaced and they have run out of the sodium bulbs, they will replace them with LEDs.
Okay.
The reason we did not do that initially was going to cost us $7 and some change per light.
Okay.
And it just, that was too much money. So as they burn out and they no longer have bulbs
in
place, but in their mail, they will put LEDs in.
And they had those lights, all the sodium lights, all over Louisville. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of how many they got left in the warehouse before they totally run out of them. Okay. Anything else from you all? All right. The 2021 budget, proposed budget. I sent you the information. And I also sent you this stuff on the PVA totals because I wanted to make you aware of what this issue is, because it was every year that I've been a commissioner, nobody's ever went into the part of how many people or how much of the properties how many of the properties are paying and getting the discount. Because it makes a difference on the first number we start with. And on with the financial report, I had Dan put this one page together, that was the budget numbers for this past year, and it has the breakdown on how many properties pay at the discount rate, or how much money we got at the discount rate, and how much we got at the regular rate, and then how much we got that was after the fact.
Is that homestead, or what's that?
Homestead exemption is actually costs us money.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, homestead and disability both cost us money, because that comes off. That's the, I don't know how much it is. I think it's 37,600 that comes off the property value. Okay, and then the remainder is paid at the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that amount is out of the, if we had nobody taking any discounts and everybody paid on time, we would have $182,475 at our current tax rate that we just passed. Okay? Because that top, the land is the land. The improvements are the house, and then you have a total for that. And then you have to take the homestead off, you have to take the disability off, and that comes up with that total taxable property value amount, okay? And then when you multiply that, that's when you come up with $182,475. So what I went down at the bottom did, I basically figured out the different percentages of people if they got the discounted rate, or if they took the discounted rate. So when I originally put this budget proposal together, I basically just took a number that was 20% of the total tax properties taking it, because we're going to have people who also pay late, which is going to offset some of the amount. Because we're only, when you look at it totally, I think it was 3,000, let's see, it's 3,649 total with all the discounts. If everybody took a discount, the amount that decreases from the $182,475 is $3,649. But we make up, as soon as September 1st comes, anybody that has it paid, we get 2% discount for up until the 1st of August. We get 11% the 1st of September, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's basically 5-1. And we do have people that don't pay on time, so it kind of works out. We can use whatever number you want to use. I gave you a list of numbers to put on the budget. But wherever we put, whatever we start with, that's where we have to start working our expenses. Because we have...
Right. Only 20, you're saying that's a fact that only 20% of the people pay the discount?
No, I'm saying I averaged it out based off the amount of people that would not pay on time, because I was looking at it. It's 5-1. If we have five people, if we have one person that doesn't pay or paid after September 1st, that's five of the 20s, or five of the 2% discounts. It was just a guesstimate, is what it amounts to.
But you expect to have less in delinquent property tax receivable in 2021?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you look at, what sheet is that you gave me? I got it here somewhere. I sent out a sheet that has a listing of all the... Is it the profit and loss? No. There was a second one We had had them broke down by loss factor. Let me find it. It was a worksheet. It was a current budget status.
So what's the purpose of this exercise? We're trying to come up with an arbitrary
number. We need a start number. We need a start number. Somewhere on one of the reports, it's there. We have to have a top number.
What I'm saying, though, is it's an arbitrary number, so why not just assume that they're all going to be paid right on time?
With no discount?
Yeah.
Okay. We just need a number to start with.
You have some that are going to be discounted, right? You have some that are going to pay late, so it's going to wash for the most part.
I just want a consensus so we can have a place to start, so we can go down the list of expenses, because we have a pretty good number on the taxes, on the insurance taxes. These are pretty much all the same, except for the interest. Yes.
Sounds sad. In this current fiscal year, $157,984 was paid at discounted rate.
Okay.
$8,908 was paid at the flat rate. And $7,788 was paid at the pass-through rate. Does that mean anything? Those numbers like help you figure anything out? Of the total, so 158,000.
That's 75%.
Yeah, that's 75%.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But there again, as we had, what's the other? The other one was.
Okay.
Yeah. What? How much was the delinquent?
7,000.
No, the delinquent was 21,790. But that's a lot of debt because there was.
Yeah, there was more. What was? Did you have it broke down by delinquent or late for that year after September 1st?
7,788.
Okay.
Delinquent means past year.
So it's actually higher than 75%. Right.
What's higher than 75%?
Well, if the numbers are right, 15,000 paid on time or late. Right. In that ballpark. And 150,000 paid. It's really 90% of paying.
158,000 was discounted.
Yeah, so roughly 90% of the citizens are taking the discount. It's not 75. So it's a high percentage.
Oh yeah, the mortgage companies are jumping all over it.
Yeah, everybody's got a mortgage, I would say, is paid a discount.
You're foolish not to take it.
Okay, well, we can do. You want to do 75 or 80%?
Well, I was confused at looking at these numbers because I'm looking at 2019 and 2020. But I'm looking at this as 2020 and 2021.
Okay, well, 2020 is, it's 19 is the tax year and 2020 is the tax year. I gave the top numbers here was to prove that we weren't violating KRS 132.2027. Okay. The numbers that I'm more worried about
are the 2020 numbers.
Yeah, the 20 number, and we need a number down at the bottom to start with.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to make a recommendation. We either go with the 179,556 or the 179,739, which is 75% and 80%. Just give me a number, and then we can start from there. Anybody got to make a motion?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go with the 80 if you go with any of those two.
Okay.
Based on what he just said.
Do I hear a motion to start with the 179,556?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I second it.
Campbell. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, so now we got our start number. Okay.
Mayor, I just have a general question.
Uh-huh.
If, are the demographics of our subdivision, are we getting older and more people are taking that tax exemption?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, you don't have to have an answer today.
No, I've got an answer.
It doesn't even have to be the primary homeowner or the primary person on the mortgage. It can be someone else that is on the mortgage. That
the person has to be on the deed.
On the deed.
The person has to be on the deed.
Okay.
If the person is not on the deed, then the homestead only applies to the people who are available.
I've already called you to do it, but I'm not really sure whether it seems like more and more houses are going up for sale.
Well,
when your property, especially those who rental property, that's the deterioration usually of a neighborhood. And so that's
believe it or not, our property values have gone up substantially. These houses in the neighborhood are going anywhere.
I'm not talking about the property value. I'm talking about the conduct, the behavior.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Not the property itself.
We think the ordinance is going to help because now we have direct contact with the landlord. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this much, they're getting contacted. And they're not necessarily getting contacted by us.
Okay.
We just implemented that we borrowed Worthington Hills, Dagan, and we did that for the condominiums where I live. We said, this is ridiculous. Yeah. We need to know how many people are moving in and out. You know, tell us how many people you got, and we want to know what we want your license tag number.
There's been no change from last year to this year for the disability exemption. Okay, we've actually had a decrease on the homestead from last year. We had $3,419,100 deducted from the property. This year we've only had $3,301,200 for the homestead exemption. Okay. So as the older people, I know we've got, I question one that was on the list because it's at the corner of Halifax and she's not living there. Her husband died a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had them check into that one because they have to physically be living or occupying the house. Okay. They can't just have it and rent it or have it and have somebody else with it. They have to be physically on the property and living there. Okay?
All right. Well, I'm not disturbing it, I'm kidding.
That's all right. Hey, you're here to get questions answered. If you're sitting here, you want to answer questions. Okay.
All right,
that's fine. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. All right. Y'all have a safe evening.
Yeah,
I was really unhappy when you quit coming to the city meeting. Okay. We can go on and start working on this. Okay, or we can have a little meeting before our next city meeting. Say come in here an hour or two before the city meeting and work out the numbers so we can pass them.
So you're going to change these numbers?
No. I just needed you. Okay. We changed the top number. We changed that number. So what's going to happen? That's going to change this bottom number. And these all have to balance out. Now, the simplest thing would be to do, okay, in these numbers up at the top. Remember I told you I really don't want to use the carryover, okay? We could just put carryover there because we're going to go ahead and do the audit and some other things, okay? So we could put carryover up here enough to cover if you're fine with these numbers. Of course, now I found a couple of things that I left off in operations. Number one was last year we'd have to pay for a rental property because we got a credit.
So this year, we have that. It's $87 a month for 12 months. So, and that's coming due the 1st of July. So that's between, that's just short of $1,100 for the year. So we have to count that in. If we're not going to be able to do our hootenanny, then we don't have to really do anything with the operations expense because we've got to have that amount projected into the budget itself. Okay?
So it's basically just the revenue that needs to be changed.
We have revenue at the top, which is really hard to change. Okay? We're kind of stuck on that. The good thing is how many properties were on that one list you just got? Was it 92? Beth?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyhow, we've already got a request for property tax. And that's $3 times 92. That's almost $300 by itself. Okay? And we'll probably have another couple more who have 40 or 50, 60. So we'll have almost the $500 in miscellaneous just from the property tax request. And according to Steve, when we did this municipal order, told me we can't exempt anybody. If we're charging $3, everybody gets charged $3. We can't exempt the title company from Louisville. So we have to start charging and having them send us a request and the $3 charge. We'll probably set some kind of account system up with them so we're not having to get $3 charges all the time. So that's a little bit of cash, but it doesn't amount to, I don't know, how many do you think we get a month? 30?
Oh, no, I haven't done that many.
I know it's more than 15. Still, there's a little bit of cash there, okay? But I would like us to have a chance to go. Does anybody see anything on here they object to? We'll start there.
No, but I have a question.
Okay.
On the audit, because we were behind on the audit, so that $26,000, but then proposed for next year is $8,000. So does that mean we are caught up? Is we are then only having to do 1 year?
We're right now. They're working on 2019, or they're supposed to be. We signed the contract for 2019 during fiscal year 2020. Okay, so we need to give them a little oomph because they need to get it done before the end of July because we have to have all our stuff that started but hasn't been completed so can be charged to 2020. Okay, and I signed that contract at that meeting in February. Okay, so we're right now working on 19. Then once I get done with 19, we're going to do 20. And that will be during fiscal year 2021. So, yeah, we only have the one. And the $8,000 I'm going to negotiate down because I talked to Dan about it. It shouldn't be too much for them to have to do. So I'm going to try to get it down a couple of grand. See if I can get it down to $5,000 instead of the $7,000 that we're paying. Okay. But I put the $8,000 on there because I just didn't know if we had something else we had to do because I was thinking, well, we could do the financial report versus an audit, but like we all talked about, we just need to have a full audit on a full year for us. So that's why I went with the $8,000 because it's like anything else, you don't know what these people are going to charge us. And there's other stuff in that category too that we have we have attorney's fees that we don't have a number on. You know, these subline items, they don't get reported on our ordinance. Okay? Those numbers that are on the sublines can be manipulated around without affecting the budget ordinance.
what exactly falls under operations? I mean, I see office equipment, mileage, postage.
Yeah.
But then there's operations inside of operations.
Okay. Those are the things like the parties.
Huh?
You know, we had the Easter egg and the... And we're going to have the Coot Nanny or... There's the rental unit, our storage unit falls into the operations, okay?
Okay.
That's what all, you know, stuff that doesn't fall under equipment. And when you look at your budget your detailed list every month, it tells you what went into operations. I can't tell you that. You know, right off the top of my head, what goes there, but it's not a dump all. Okay, but the three things I can think of is a rental unit, the two social events we're going to have, just off the top of my head.
But the rental unit, that could be listed separately, couldn't it? Like under the operating expenses, because you basically know what that is.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's in operations.
Okay.
All right. You don't have to break down everything within each one. You just have to have a category to put them into. Okay, like office equipment, you know, computers, you know, phones or whatever, you know, calculators.
I guess my point is, if we're already eating up to just probably what, $100 a month, that's $1,200 for the rental, for the little unit. And if there's only $2,200 in there, that is not going to be...
No. The rental unit's $87 a month.
Still.
I'm just
saying, if that's part of the operations and you expect the fall festival to come out of that also, that's not going to be enough money for the fall
festival. That's the reason why I'm bringing this all up. You all need to come up with some numbers. I gave you a starting point.
Okay.
I don't want to be like the previous administration and say, you do it here. You know?
Okay. Gotcha.
Holiday Inn, you know,
operation. Oh, Holiday Inn. Thank you.
And the lockbox suite.
And the lockbox suite.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you, Dan. I should have asked you. You know everything. So, yeah, there's a lot more in it, and I didn't really have a good feeling on that number anyhow. That's the reason why the most important thing was we had a first read back in February so that we could have this sitting for the longest time so everybody could be looking at it. Okay. It's due to be finalized next month, so we can work on it tonight or we can come in early. Y'all can take it home, do your homework. We can, you know, you can ask questions of Dan during the month, and we can find out how much we should put in each one. Operations is always a tough one. Operation expense is always a tough one, and we probably have to increase it.
What
if
is
we
telephone
get one.
Expense?
Huh?
The telephone expense.
That's
Nextiva.
At the okay. Nextiva.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got, yeah, that's $32 or $33. What is it now? It's 33, I think. 33 and some change each month. Not very much. It's $32.57. That's down a whole lot from what it used to be, right, Commissioner Metcalf? The salaries are pretty much set. The only thing we don't get a real good feel on is the salary expense, because depending on what they do each month, if they're just paying the checks out, it's just that's the only expense. But when they do the quarterly reports, it goes up a little bit. So you really, you know, again, we're in line there. Dennis, are we good on the security expense? I think we've got a routine down on it.
Right.
The sanitation, there again, is that's as long as we have Rumpke. Rumpke's not looking to raise their rates, are they?
I'm sorry?
Is Rumpke looking to increase their rate this year again?
No.
Okay. So we should be good
there. Well, they weren't as of last month.
Okay. Street lighting, I mean, we should be okay there. The water's always concerning to me because you never know what these people are charging for the irrigation systems anymore.
Why not? I mean, don't we know how much?
They charge a different rate for water out of the irrigation systems than
I know that, but I'm saying we pretty much.
If we can keep them off till the end of July, then we should be okay. Because we only.
We've had plenty of rain.
Yeah. I think if we can keep them off to at least the mid-July.
End of July is ambitious. We might make it to the end of June.
It'll
start drying up.
Because if you're planting all these new things.
I haven't planted them yet, but I'll. Right.
But they have, I mean, that first year is critical.
Oh, no.
Water on the new plantings.
Right.
But we don't have, we're not getting new, I mean, and a lot of the, you're going to plant all the islands just that, aren't you?
There'll be something going on in both the flagpoles.
And we don't have irrigation except in three islands.
That's right. The front entrance won't get it. The only problem with the front entrance is if you don't water those trees, at some point you're going to stress them out. They're in bad shape anyway. They're coming along. Actually, they trimmed them back a little bit last year. They're starting to come along. That tornado really did number on a couple of them.
We'll see what goes on with the water. I mean, if we have to increase the water, you know, if you want to increase it up to 1,000, that's what I'm saying.
We're not going to talk about cross connection, I hope, again. We beat that horse to death.
It's on their side. I don't understand why we're paying for it.
Is there some place in this budget to get the light at the front entrance fixed?
That's in property maintenance.
That's going to be something I'll talk about in my commission.
Yeah.
I finally got a bid on it.
Good. Okay.
So, again, I'm going to ask, do we come in early next month?
I'm going to say no, Bob. We're going to now.
Okay, fine.
The only reason I vote no is because I may not be here next month. I may have to be video conference in. I may be in North Carolina.
Okay.
Ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
The insurance premiums and bond line, have you only spent $1,400 so far this fiscal year? So is there something that's going to come up for the next few months, or am I doing something wrong?
I asked about this. Was one of those things that got to be a problem because they weren't. We were having a problem with the lockbox in the past, and what was happening was is they were putting property tax from another property in there, and then they were having to take it back out, and that was what they were using, and that's why that was that way. I don't know how accurate that number is. If you're saying we haven't done that much this year, then yeah, we can decrease that amount.
I thought that was maybe something like the bonding that we have as a city, don't forget to pay for the bonding.
No, the bonding, the insurance premium bonds are up at the top, and we just finished the first year on our payment. We have 3-year bond. We paid for 3 years, so we don't have to pay on the bonds again for another year.
Because on the insurance premiums and bonds, which is, you've got $6,000 in this budget.
I moved it to $7,500.
Yeah, and we've only spent $1,500 this fiscal year.
That's because we paid over $6,000 last year in June for the KLC insurance.
So you're saying it might
in June, we're going to hit it.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, we got okay. Insurance. The insurance is come. The insurance is actually due on July 1st, but it gets paid in June, and it should really be in the correct fiscal year. It probably wasn't in the right fiscal year last year.
What about the property assessment and liens? We've got $5,000. What's that for?
Oh, that is for the tax bills.
And those are going to come in June?
Those come in June, but we get the bill in July. No, we get them in June, but they're billed in August.
Right, but if that's an expense that hasn't hit this year yet.
No, it did hit. It hit last year. Okay.
We haven't spent any money for property assessment coming this year.
Well, maybe it just didn't get in the right spot because we got a bill from PGA last year in July.
Because I'm like, I'm looking at this.
I know. Yeah.
And there's nothing there. And you're saying this.
This here.
That's the budget.
Okay, that's the budget. I wonder where you put the PVA is. Maybe you put the PVA in this. No, you didn't put it up there. We got a PVA for the bills.
And that was what month?
It was in August. Is it July or August? Because they usually send the bill out after we get the tax bills. And it's like $4,700. Okay.
I'm trying to figure out where that went.
Speak up anytime, because I've got the spreadsheet over here. Do we want to go down line by line to start with? Why don't we do that? All right, so we're changing. We're changing the 179.
I do have a question. Dan, maybe you can answer this while Bob's looking at that. Where do we get $142,000 from insurance premiums? That can't be just from the cars. That.
No, it's the homeowner's insurance, too.
It's homeowners, health, disability, all the health insurance.
All of the insurance that we pay the city gets a
chunk
back.
They get 6% on whatever your premium is. We get 6% tax on it.
Wow.
The only time the life insurance is one time a year, whereas your car insurance is quarterly or semi-annually or whatever, depending on how often you pay your automobile insurance is how often we get the 6%.
So in other words, because we have insurance through USAA, every so often USAA then just sends you a check.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what that stuffed in the box is down there when we have a lot of mail.
You know, in the last few weeks or so, some days I've had 35 or 50 something checks.
That's amazing.
From insurance companies to the gun.
Okay. I just didn't realize it came in on everything.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I'm on this thing about everybody having their license plate correct, okay, is because how do we know that those people driving around with the out-of-state tags are carrying insurance that's being addressed in the taxes paid for Worthington Hills. Okay?
I did not realize it was that big of a...
Oh, yeah.
Income.
Yeah, income from the...
Yes.
I know my husband fussed over the car. He threw it on the car when he fussed over
Last the car. Last week we got a check for $127,000 from one insurance company. And I emailed him. I said, I don't think this is right. They're like, oh, no, please return that check to her. Yeah, someone who typed it in wrong. But yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Interesting. All right.
Okay, so we got, all right, how are we doing on delinquent taxes? We're getting...
Of all of the ones that we sent out to bill, we received payments from 80 different tax bills that were due. And we still have 127 that we have no response on. Now, some of those are, you know, some people have 4 or 5 of them out there.
Okay, but we get a pretty good
127 taxes.
Some people might owe 4 or 5 years.
Sorry, you said that. And we did a pretty good job. We got 21,000 something that we got this year. So we cleaned that up quite a bit. That's why I lowered that amount down. $2,500.
Is there not something legally the city can do though? If you're 5 and 6 years,
yeah, we can put a lien on the house.
I was going to say if they don't pay their tax, we can put a lien on the house.
Yeah, that's what Steve does. He puts a lien on it, and then they have to pay all the charges on the lien and everything else when we get when
well, that's what happened to us. And it was just. Not with the management company we have now. We had a lien. We placed a lien on a property because this person just refused to pay her HOA fees.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I'm not going to pay them. You know, I'm not paying for grass mowing and water and all this stuff. And so we put a lien on her. Well, the management company let it
lapse.
So then the next time when I took over as president of HOA, I'm looking at these expenses and I'm seeing, okay, this lady is $17,000 behind in HOA fees, and we don't even have a lien against her property. How is this possible? And
well, see, that's one of the problems we have with our taxes not being collected or our letters not being sent out since 15. That's why we got so many people screaming and hollering that they hadn't even been notified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, that's because people didn't do their job, is what it amounted to. So we had to play catch up, and we played catch up. We played quite a bit of catch up. Okay?
Well, she's catching up. She's paid us $3,000 already against that.
All right. Is everybody fine with the property tax revenue? It's going to, when you take the 179,556 plus 7,500, it comes to 187,056 dollars. So then the interest, because we're getting good money market interest, okay, last year we only had budgeted 2,500, and right now, as of the end of April,
4629.
How much?
4629.
And we haven't even put the good money in there yet.
I would think interest rates might go down.
Well, that's, they could. Everything's an if.
Probably down. But.
Anyhow.
You only have to come up with, what, $500?
What's that?
You only have to come up with $500, right?
Mm-hmm. What are we getting? What are we getting per month right now? Let's see.
No, don't worry. I think digits is fine. I'm saying, like, this proposed budget was balanced.
Yeah.
You just changed the revenue by how much?
We just increased it from last year by
no
around $5,000.
No. You decreased
the proposed.
Right, but the 2020 was balanced.
Right.
Okay.
So you have this proposed budget for 2021.
Right.
You just decreased the revenue by how much?
179,556.
Well, over $3,000.
No, we decreased it by $2,500
from.
No, we decreased it like $600. $600 or $700.
No. 179,500 to 181,300.
Oh, you're talking about wondering what it was originally. Okay. Yeah.
I'm reading that right, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's much more than $500.
Yeah. But the most it could have been was 3,600. We decreased it by 29,19. There we go.
There you go. That sounds right.
So you need to find $3,000.
Yeah.
For this to balance, you're saying?
For this to balance.
Right.
Typical count.
I'll give you $1,000 out of the open space, because I don't think you're going to need it.
Okay.
So if you want to make that $2,900,
that's $29,000.
I mean.
Okay.
I think next year you're going to be. I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot left to do unless something crazy happens.
All right.
I saved my other current journal. We've spent $650 this year so far.
Okay. We can take that down. See, I had that up because I wasn't sure what was going to happen with. And I'm not looking to pass any bills. Other, this one in the budget, we get those two in before the end of the year. So we'll have, next year, we'll just have the tax and the budget. So we could take it down and cut it in half. Cut it in half. As you said, right now we have how much we spent?
$650.
Okay, we're going to spend another $100 here shortly.
So it's going to be $750.
Yeah.
Well, we always have to do Miner and Company because they have a 2-year contract, right?
We still have to do. Yeah, we still have to have the money there.
Okay.
So that's 1750 out of 3,000, right? So you gotta come up with 1250 more.
I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you where we're at here just as soon as I get to the bottom of the page. wouldn't this be balanced? This thing says we got 64 surplus, so that would be balanced. But let's see what happens when I change that to 6. Let's see what happens. So I'm not thinking it. This thing in order to
where's my delete button?
There it is.
We're just going to general fund for the following year.
Our bank account grows.
Okay.
Yeah.
You only have.
Okay.
It doesn't go to the following year.
According to this.
But it goes somewhere.
Into your bank account.
I just took. On the audit, I just took 2,000 off it yet, and it jumped up to 2,064. So, according to this, I think what we're going to do is take that 2,000 and put it down here in the operations, and we'll just have it balanced. Because you all are really wanting to have that. We're wanting to have that. We got to get this COVID. We got to have a part.
Probably can't have it this year, but for the projected budget for next year, I think. Yeah.
So you have the audit of what?
The audit that you moved down to 6,000. And they'll try to get 2020 at 5 anyhow.
Because the last one we did was 7.
The one that we got going on right now is 7.
Okay.
Also. Okay. So, you know, we talked the other day about the fact that they shouldn't have hardly any problems with ours. We ought to be able to get them down another $2,000 at least.
So I would say that, like, if the audit went back up, you can get money out of the insurance premiums and bottom line of the properties. Because you only have to budget the operating expense. You don't have to budget the sub-items, right?
No, you don't have to budget the sub-items. But, see, when you look at the ordinance... See,
right.
Okay.
Right.
So we just have to have that first number, and then right. We have to have each one of the line items. Well, whatever happens in the sub line items really don't matter. We can. It's just like the stuff with the road, the street offense, the road offense, or road expense. Okay. You only had $1,000 assigned to that, but because we didn't have any snow removal, we just manipulated the snow removal to the signs. Okay. That's what's nice about having it set up this way in our ordinance. We just have the main category that we put in on the website, but then we can do what we need to do to balance the rest of the accounts underneath that.
This is what I would do to get this balanced.
It's already balanced with the 2,000.
Okay.
With Even with the audit staying at 8,000, it's balanced at $64.
I was going to say maybe take $1,000 out of snow removal too, because we only spent, I know there's nothing this year, but we spent
$4,100.
Let me tell you, every snow, if we did plowing, if it was 4 inches or less.
I get that. I understand.
It's $1,500 plus the salt. Okay.
You can eat it really fast.
Yeah, we ate it real fast in 2015.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying if you're trying to find some money.
No.
Bucks or
no, you'll never get me to take the money out of snow removal because it's even, I'd be putting it in it. I'll know in August what we're going to happen. So, because I pretty much.
You can take that operating expense and that money can.
Well, I think we can just put it in the operations and then that way we can, you know.
In operations or operating?
in operating expenses.
We have operations expense and we have operating expense.
Right. Operating expense is $38,000.
Right.
Or the proposed is $21,500, and that's got the audit fees and the insurance bonds and the.
Yeah.
You got to take it out of there.
Yeah, I took the $2,000 out of the audit.
So we're good, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now we're at 2,000. We had a surplus of 2,064. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So we're good?
Yeah, let's vote on it.
Wait a minute.
Can I make a motion?
No, wait a minute. I don't want to put this online with 2,064 surplus. Okay.
Put it back in the audit or something.
Hmm?
Put it back in the audit.
I'll put it back in the audit. All right. I just did that to see if my Excel file was doing what it was supposed to be doing the calculating. Okay. According to this, we're all balanced. All right. Here we'll do.
Send that to all of us again.
I'm going to send it to all of you again.
Okay, thank you.
And then we will vote on it next meeting.
Okay.
I don't want to vote on it this meeting because there could be something that we don't know about. Okay. And we haven't gotten the bill from KLC yet for the insurance, the regular insurance. It actually starts 7/1, and I half expect to get it shortly. So I want to make sure those numbers on the insurance and bonds are correct. Okay. Moving along, where are we at? All right. So we did that. And y'all still wanting to... I still want to have this celebration. I know it's going to be tough, but...
I don't know how many people are
going to... I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that's PO'd. I can tell you that right now. You look around our neighborhood and see how many people's running around the neighborhood. They're tired of being locked up.
That's true. It's just, I don't know if... Well, first of all, of the time constraints to even plan it.
We haven't even really thought about it.
And another thing, I don't know how many businesses that we can get...
Right, you got a good point.
To join in, like, can we get the smokehouse from the fire department to come, or can we get and
maybe we'll do a spring celebration.
We'll do that because I got East Community for that.
Yeah. All right, good
and
idea.
And needs to tell me that children how old at East Community.
We could give that out for Halloween. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Those bunnies. Here.
It'll last a year. Trust me. I've eaten your old candy.
It's in a controlled, a climate-controlled environment.
That's right. All right. I'm going to bring up this disaster preparedness stuff again. Okay?
Oh, okay.
You can tell how important it is just by what's going on here in the last 2 months. All right. Dennis, we've talked about the radios.
Uh-huh.
Can you give us a little info so that these people can understand what you're working on over there?
Okay. I looked on the internet. It's several types of radios. They're called GMRS, government or mobile radio for civilians to use. And they have security codes, so we can code them so the kids in the neighborhood, if we have an emergency, won't be interfering with us and all that good stuff. We're trying to pick out some good ones that have a decent amount of rain so it covers the whole city. And if we can do that, we'll have enough radios for each one of us, plus any volunteers that we might want to help us if a real emergency comes up.
Yeah, because if we have an emergency, okay, let's say Bay Run did get wiped out, okay? What should have happened at that time was both ends of Bay Run should have been blocked off by our security team, okay? And anybody doing any work needed to be logged in from basically we'd need a volunteer to go along with a clipboard, find out what their name is, when they started working or whatever. I mean, this is all for FEMA. Okay? You have to have good paperwork for FEMA to get reimbursed for your expenses. So by having radios for all the commission members and then our security team and then the volunteer leads, like we'd have, you have to have somebody that has a sign in where people, if they're working or want to volunteer, they have to sign in. If there's any kind of lunches that are provided, even though we may get the items donated, FEMA's just like everybody else. People are required to have breaks, and they have to, you know, they have to log all this. It's quite consuming. When I went to the disaster preparedness class in 15, I'm like, I know we have nothing like this at the city. Nothing at all. We actually, what we had is, we're tied into Jefferson County's, okay? And you've seen what we received when we had our little event out on Bay Run Drive. Nothing. So this time, if we got really hit bad, you're looking at hazardous material coming from the Ford plant, because paint and their stuff is over there is all hazardous material. And they, most of the storms come from southeast and head north, southwest and home, northeast. All right, and that's exactly how that tornado went. It went straight up the back there. It could tear up all of it. If anything that got on our roadways, that has to be removed properly by environmental protection type companies. There's a lot of stuff that has to go on. And we just, you know, it's something we hope we never have to use. But the last thing we want to do is be in a position where we're running around with our head cut off. Because there was a gentleman there. He was the the county judge, exec. And he was from Pendleton County. Or Butler County, Pendleton, Kentucky. And he basically had just become the judge except the year that they had a major event. And he said it was just unbelievable how much they missed. He says there was so much that the FEMA wanted that they just didn't have the documentation for. So he took his learning experience. In the 12 years that he was judge exact, he had four more events. And the last one was in 14 when we had the big snow. And his county got the most FEMA money because they had all the documentation that they needed to basically get what they deserved. And all these counties around him that had the same amount of snow didn't get anywhere near what he got because he had done it right. And he had, you know what they did with that money? They basically took care of, they have a disaster preparedness center up there now that had, it's just like a command post. And that's what they have up there in Pendleton County. And they give tours on it. I haven't been to it, but, and they talk about it. They do training about it, so...
Well, did he trickle that money down to the smaller cities in the county? Like, we, do they have cities incorporated like we are?
No, this is Pendleton County is Butler, pretty much, if I remember right. It's just basically one little town. Well, we're in Butler is the county seat, okay? And from what I understand, there's two rivers that meet there, and it flooded on his first year. It actually flooded his house. So that's why he basically became concerned was the fact that there was so much that needed to be done, they just didn't know. He has prepared the rest of the cities within the county for this, okay? But it isn't like here. We're just part of Metro, and Metro don't care about us. I mean, they should have had tree shredding equipment out there in our neighborhood, because we pay the taxes. I called them people and asked them, why aren't we getting the shredders out here? You're not in the city. I says, no, we're in the county and we pay county taxes. We don't have anybody for you. We can't do anything for you. We got, you got your own mess to deal with. That's pretty much what they told me. So
this training, did they give you a plan or basically an outline that could be brought down to our small city?
It was a summit, is what it amounted to. They had all these presenters, and you basically took, we had a notebook, okay, and there's probably some stuff in the notebook, okay, but I want to get you all thinking about it into what, because there's a lot you can find on the internet, but I wanted to get you involved in it. I was not planning on this COVID-19 coming up, okay, because I was looking to try and do this during the summer. That's why I bring it up again, is I can get the notebook out, because I know where it's at, I believe, and pass it around, but there's really not any one thing. I've got everything on tape. I've got a digital file for the whole meeting. The big thing was, is I've been trying to get KLC to have another summit, because I was the only one who went to it. There was myself and a council member from Douglas Hills that was there, and she felt the same way I did. She says, there's no way.
So none of the cities applied to FEMA for anything?
You can, but the thing is to get the most money. You can, if you don't have the right amount, what I'm saying is if you don't have the good amount of paperwork.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but what my question is, I'm surprised, J-Town, have they ever applied for FEMA money and gotten it?
Who?
Jefferson Town, J-Town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they get FEMA money in 2014 when we had the big snow.
Okay.
Yeah, they basically have FEMA money. They know they got all the people downtown to do that. Okay, they got their own administration down there that it's the Emergency Management Administration right in Jefferson County. They've got their own command post downtown. If that command post gets wiped out, they got nothing. They got absolutely nothing. And trust me, it's downtown.
She's talking about J-Town.
Are you talking about J-Town?
Yeah, I'm talking about J-Town. Like, because that's a really big city,
or even St. Matthews. Do they?
I don't know if J-Town or St. Matthews have. I can't speak for them.
I guess what I'm trying to find out is we go to the expense of doing all this and putting together all this stuff, and then we apply to FEMA, and FEMA says, oh, no, we've already given it to your county.
No. Well,
that's my question.
No, if we
apply, we're guaranteed to get money back.
You never get guaranteed anything from the feds. I mean, the thing is it doesn't matter. We're required to have it by statute anyhow.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, again.
We can have a plan. I mean,
it doesn't have to be elaborate. We need to be able to coordinate with the fire department, who's not worthy to help anymore. What is it, Anchorage? Whatever it is.
It's whatever shows up on your Anchorage.
So, basically we just need to have a plan, let them know. We need to give them phone numbers or contacts, or if we have something. We don't need something real elaborate. We just need to know this is what this particular department's responsible to do. This is what this other department, this is what we're going to do as a whole. I'm not looking for a big elaborate type of thing. I'm looking for, okay, just say that I got killed and Dan got killed. Okay? Because that was day run. Okay? All right? So now you're out the mayor and you're out the treasurer. Okay? But I haven't even given you the numbers because guess what? If they had wiped out the houses in Bay Run, the only thing we would get property tax on, that event happens on 10-10 of 2020. So most of the taxes will be in, okay? But what you have to plan for is next year, because just think if COVID-19 hit next spring and they stopped all the construction, the new construction for the houses that were destroyed in Bay Run, you do not have PVA value. The only thing you've got value on is the land. And that ain't but about $30,000 per block. You know, when you're talking about houses running, the property values on Bay Run, each of them averaging from 150 to 210. And you know how many houses that are in Bay Run. There's a big chunk of change there. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up during this tax season too, so you can see just how much money the next fiscal year would be a problem. You know, we don't have the problem that they're having downtown by cutting off people not working. Okay? They don't get the majority of their revenue from property tax. They get the majority of their revenue from employment tax, sales tax, mm-hmm. and all those other things.
We don't have any of that.
Yeah, we don't have any of that. So our big problem is property tax. We have to make sure that we have a way of making sure that we can come up with a recoup value somehow.
Okay.
And in having this thing with FEMA, getting a lot of stuff paid for, a lot of our own expenses paid for, a majority of it from FEMA, because you got cleanup, you got I don't know what all. You know, you've got a lot of expenses when it comes to a major catastrophe. I mean, just look at the little bit that we had over in Bay Run and how long that took to clean up. I would have loved to have had somebody out there doing the shredding the equipment or shredding the trees. If we'd had some arrangement with somebody, we could probably got it at a decent rate just to get the stuff off the street. Here again, these people, this is what gets me, is they should have come over there and taken it because they take it over there and get paid for it. So, all right. Any other new business?
I don't know new business. We might as well talk about the new business. So I've got, kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the lights.
Okay.
$1,565 is the quote, and I apologize. I have two pictures that I can email you. This is an LED light. I made and sent some pictures so I can show you all. That's getting the lights fixed. And the other one is actually, it shows the spot itself, and it didn't print well, so I didn't bring it. But I can email you those. He's going to do replace all four lights. The pole we got hit, and he wants to replace the lights on the pole. Well, he's damaged. So he just wants to pull the pole, put the pole in. It's like, not a big deal. On the flagpole in Boynton Court, he's going to replace all the material that's, you know, the 2x4s, the plywood, what have you. Remount all the boxes, and then he's going to mount a... I apologize for this, but if you want to pass those around, these are, that is a lock box that he's going to physically hang the irrigation system in so it can't be played with. That's all included in his bid.
Yeah, so that's replace, you know, all that crappy looking stuff we got that's got the electrical connections and the meters and everything on.
All those boxes are falling apart.
Yeah.
God, thank you.
Yeah. So okay. he's gonna mount them in this box. So, and that, for whatever reason, this thing printed terribly, but that gives you some idea of what it is.
Oh.
And I can email that as well.
So you want me a copy of it?
They're all copies. They're all copies. Yeah, they're all safe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, that's the piece of my budget that I was waiting on. I didn't know if it would be $1,500 or $4,500. I didn't know what these guys would charge, so that I'm not going to have any trouble staying inside those budgets. So if you want to vote on it, we can, but I don't think I'd like just to tell you to go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I made a motion.
All right.
Let me ask you this. He did ask me if we wanted to change. He brought this up. He said, "Do you want to change the light at the flagpole to an LED?"
That would be awesome.
Because that halogen he's got there.
Yeah.
That thing burns out about once every 3 months.
Okay.
Of course.
That was something he brought up.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And here, could I ask a favor of you?
Yeah.
The next time you're out near Boynton, I tried to take it off, but I can't get up in there with my walker. There's some leftover duct tape around that old light pole.
Yeah.
Would you mind just cutting the gutter, or whatever you have to do to get that off?
You mean the electrical tape or the caution tape?
It's the old duct tape.
That's where they mark the pole when the lights go out.
It's probably on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just I couldn't get up in there with my walker and get it.
I can get it off when I'm over. I'll probably know.
Usually LG&E takes it off, but I think this has been on there forever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not forever, but long time.
Okay. So I got a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous.
Okay.
Fix the stuff.
It'll be done.
Including the flagpole.
Yeah, I'll put a note on there.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Met with Steve Triplett from All Terrain Paving and Construction today, and Mayor Bob was with us. And last year we did all the crack filling on Lunenburg and Northumberland, and it has really helped, I feel. I mean, you can just tell that alligatoring that was on Lunenburg is just not even as much. And Middlesex is the big problem. Middlesex, I don't know if anybody ever gets down there, but it's got lots of alligatoring, lots of cracking because it gets so much traffic. And then he's also going to the seam on Bay Run all the way down where they put the crown on. And then he checked all of the courts, drove into all of the courts today, and got back a bid, or a quote, for 19, and I'm going to pass these around. I'll try to keep my distance. And I put my mask back on, except it makes me cough when I try to talk. Thank you. This is one to Dan, since he'll be paying it. There we
go.
And, but when the, and there's a couple little like you said, Bay in court, but it's you get it. But he's covering all the courts and Middlesex and Bay Run Drive to seal that seam down the middle, and for a price of $19,689.
He knows how far to go up on Middlesex, doesn't he? I just found that out.
Oh yeah, he does.
Okay,
he's right and pointed out the ones that go across. He's got the number of the house that is like the, like that border. Yes, the end. And then he'll take that all the way up.
But this is every street. This is every street.
Amazing. Yeah. I couldn't believe, I'm going to be honest with you.
This is one thing that hadn't been done in the past. They just would wait till the asphalt fall apart, and then they just re-asphalt. You can get anywhere from 5 to 10 years longer if you take care of those cracks, because what happens is that water during the season gets underneath the asphalt, and then when winter comes, it expands because of the ice, and it cracks. That's how you get potholes. And that also can, at the same time, that can also damage the substructure, which you don't want to do, because then you get really into a lot of problems. Preventive maintenance is everything. That's how you make your asphalting last 25 years. And this is what they hadn't done in the past. And right now, everything but Bay Run, well, Middlesex has been there since they made it in the last part of,
the early part of 2000, we had the last asphalting of our main city in 2006. Bay Run was done in 2015, and those cracks are just basically the stress cracks from the, you know, at the expansion joints of the substructure, just cement down there, and so just sealing them up. That way, the tar that seals them up can expand and contract, but it doesn't let the water down into them. So this price is just, this will save us a lot. Plus the fact, and Carol was there, he brought it up. Right now the price of oil products is down. Yeah. Now's a good time to do it. That's how we got this.
This is the materials, because we were discussing that when we were going to do over there.
No, this is just the tarring like we did on Northumberland, okay, and Ludenburg. It's not any of that cover-up stuff that can be watered down, I'll put it that way.
Well, no, because you were insisting that we use a certain kind of material. You said something else was EPA. Wasn't EPA?
Yes. Yeah. The seal coat has actually been banned in like 106 cities, and actually in one full state has banned it because it's environmentally not safe. And there's another product that's different. That's what we used over on the condos in Pacelli.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But this is just tarring. This isn't doing anything to the asphalt at all. This is just tarring out the cracks.
The cracks. Just like Northumberland and Ludenburg.
You can't miss it on Ludenburg and Northumberland.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the exotic design.
I honestly thought that I'd get some calls because, like, it looks weird. But It works, so, and I didn't get any calls.
Yeah. No, I noticed this winter when I was driving around when it was damp in the mornings, we didn't have the dampness coming out, you know, after rain and just sitting in those cracks. Because you can see after it dries, right there by the cracks, there'd still be dampness, and that just indicates there's water underneath the asphalt. So, yeah, all I need is a motion to accept this bid from...
We'll make a motion to accept the bid from All Terrain Paving and Construction.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, good. You can call Steve and let him know that.
I will call and tell him.
And he said he can start sometime the 1st of June, somewhere around the 1st of June. Okay.
Does this have to be on the ground? I'm only asking. Does this have to be on the roadway for any certain amount of time before people can drive over it or whatever?
When they were crack filling before, they would block and like half of it. Well, they bought half and they would fill, and then they just move over.
Yeah.
And
well, the only reason that wouldn't make any difference, people can go down Walmart aisle on the right side of the street.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah. We just had all, this is new business, and I'll make this fast. Putting up the signs, and I've been looking at the signs and working with the signs, and they did an awesome job. I think hopefully it'll work. But as I'm doing that, I just really just like the front of the subdivision with the light. I really like the place looks nice, and I want to be proud of where I live. And one thing is, I noticed that we had, I wish we could afford all the wonderful little decorative poles that Poplar Hill has or some of the other ones, but they're expensive, and I know we can. But as I'm looking at all the poles that we have for our signs, they were galvanized, and they were green, they were rusty green, and they were rust. And I'm going to get a couple quotes from painters that are licensed and insured, and just get a quote to see what it would cost to basically prime them, whatever they have to do to those metal poles, and do them all a matte black and have it uniform throughout. I will bring back prices next month.
Okay. I bet you ain't going to find anybody who wants to do it on a galvanized pole.
Well, I wouldn't even mind a galvanized pole, but those green, rusty green, and rusty ones.
All right.
Something's got to be done. It just looks shabby.
All right.
Or is it just me? Just me that...
I don't see them, but...
They look almost as bad as some of the white poles.
All right.
Yeah, the white poles are terrible.
I've got a presentation... We have a commissioner who's now reached another level on his city governance. I'd like to congratulate Dennis Metcalf on exceeding the second level 2 excellence in city governance.
All right, thank you.
Oh, my!
Awesome! And there's a gift that the KLC gives you for it.
All right, thank you.
And I would have done it last month, but there wasn't enough people here. I wanted to at least give them a few more people.
Congratulations.
Good
for you. How many hours
do you have to
get that?
I'm not sure.
It's 30 hours. It's basically, let's see, it's 20 hours, 29 hours plus 1 hour of ethics training.
Oh, ethics.
And you do that. He's done it. He got his first year. He made it through the first level. And then this is the excellence. Oh, achievement is the first one. Excellence is the next level. And then master's is the third level. Master's, because they were getting so many people getting it, they now require us who have it to have a certain amount of training per year to maintain it.
Well, there you go.
And it's not just going to the academies, okay? Because the academies, there's additional classes that are specific to the masters that aren't, that they don't provide to the regular people. So we've got extra ones to do. So, yeah, that's... Congratulations, Dennis. Good job. So, with that, now we're to the commission's reports. Who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Hall.
You don't have to write any of this down, Ben. I'm going to email it to you, okay? As soon as I get home. So. Property maintenance commissioner report, 5/19/20. Mowing of the primary city properties happened on 425, 51, 59, and 517. Mowing and weed eating the secondary properties, the islands, 425, 52, and 510. It didn't happen this week because of the rain. Might get to it tomorrow afternoon. General cleanup, 425, the entrance to a large green space between Jonell and Lunenburg. The evergreens were cut down, the Bradford was topped, and all the debris was hauled off. 426, the large green space, in the large green space in between Mecklenburg and Queen Anne Court, we cut down and removed the second dead ash tree. 426, in the holding pond area between Rustburg and Queen Anne Court, we cut down saplings around the locust trees. We cut a hedge apple tree that was encroaching on the green space from a neighbor's yard and preventing us basically to mow. 427, entrance to the large green space between Jonell and Lunenburg Court, finished cutting the Bradford pear, cut all the saplings back to the fence line, and removed a large amount of tree debris that fell out of the tree off one of the neighbor's houses. Hauled off the debris. 5-2 trimmed all the bushes at the flagpole in Boyington. 5-4 started falling, started working on a fallen locust tree that, started, I didn't write this correctly. A fallen locust tree removal from the green space behind Mecklenburg Court. Cut top of the tree out in the property owner's yard at 4022 Northumberland and 4513 Mecklenburg Court. 5-6, continued work on that. Same tree, same addresses. 5-7, fertilized. Weedman came out and fertilized both the islands, Boynton and the flagpole. 510, weeded the holding pond ditch line of Lunenburg Drive. 511, continued working on the fallen locust tree. 517, weeded the fence and ditch lines in the large green space. Between, and also we needed the ditch between Queen Anne's Court and Rustburg Place. Received a call on 427 from Carol about a large amount of water coming out of the ground at the flagpole. Contacted Linda and she got the water shut off. 428, contacted Bill Funk at Evergreen Irrigation to come out and repair the irrigation systems at the flagpole and main entrance. He scheduled his people to be there today, 519, the other day. 53, received a message from Don Eichenberger about the neighbor allowing the dog to defecate on their yard and the neighbor that was parking on their yard and cutting hair at their home. This was all reported to Metro 311. 53, received a message from property owner on, this was 4513 Mecklenburg Court, that the city, or that the city's locust tree had fallen on his fence. And 55, contacted Johnson Electric about repairing the lights in the main entrance and the power supply mounts at the last home Boynton Court. That's it.
Okay, thank you. The islands are looking great. Thanks.
We're starting to.
All right. Commissioner Beville.
Get my street light checks on 421 through 512 reported the following issues. 4304 Pacific Place, the lampshade was dislodged. Boynton Island, the light was out. And the intersection of Halifax and Rustburg, the light was out. I met with Dan Nall from LG&E Outdoor Lighting Department on 421 to discuss additional lighting on Heathsville, Luray, and Rustburg Courts. Mr. Nall proposed LG&E to perform 6 boards to allow for installation of underground cable to enable the installation. The cost of the city would be $2,443. I gave this proposal to Mayor Stoneham on 428, and he said he wanted to meet with Mr. Nall so they could find alternative locations that would be less expensive. He also informed me that Mr. Nall was personally getting the permission documentation completed. I spoke with Mr. Nall last week, and he said he has a firm commitment from Mr. Ramal on Heathsville. Mrs. O'Neill on Rustburg is uncertain. We know now she isn't. And that he did not expect the property owner that he spoke with on Luray to allow LG&E to access the property. He said he would keep me updated on how the project progresses. As I reported in the April meeting, the water service to the islands was scheduled to be restored on 4/23/2020, and it was. At about 10:30 on the morning of 4/27, I received a call from Commissioner Campbell, who had been out taking her morning walk, and she noticed standing water and flooding in the flagpole island. I called Lowell Water Company and requested an emergency shutoff, and that was done at 11:44 a.m. I also filed a leak adjustment form on the same day. Commissioner Hall was kind enough to send me an email with a photo indicating the leak was at the regulator. On 5/5, I received an email from the city clerk with an attachment from the Louisville Water Company dated 4/27, in which they stated their inspection indicated there was a leak. There was an 8,000-gallon leak. That's how many gallons that leaked out of there. I asked we need proof of the repairs to that regulator so we can get an adjustment in what was. They require proof that it's been fixed. So I asked that all correspondence regarding the repairs be sent to Commissioner Hall, because you told me, Mr. Mayor, that was Harold's bailiwick, not mine. Okay. Let's see, I answered 5 phone calls
and numerous emails from property owners about issues with Brunke not picking up trash and or recycling. I've spoken with Chris Pierce at Brunke, and he has taken care of that. He has also had his drivers now have to actually send in a report when they have picked up recycling on some of the problematic streets. I had a call from a new resident who did not have any bins. Evidently, whoever owned the property before took them with them when they left. And I contacted Rumpke, and new ones were delivered to her home. I sent a letter along with the Rumpke guidelines for service in the city of Worthington Hills, printed in both English and Spanish, to the occupants of the rental property at 4504 Lunenburg. I've received, as has Commissioner Hall, numerous complaints about the garbage not being put out. That's the end of my report, but I do think, because Carol and I discussed this as well, a lot of times people, they move into an area and they think they have to pay for garbage. And so I don't know if these people were not putting it out because they thought, or maybe the less I put out, and if they don't come this week, I won't have to pay for it. But I did send the guidelines. I even said, in case they didn't understand, recycling, green cans, garbage, blue cans. I mean, there is no reason for these people. The only thing I can do now is go up there and get it myself on Friday. And I ain't going to do that. So I'm saying, I feel like we have beat this horse to death and we just need to take it to the stable and leave it.
It's a rental property.
And I know it's a rental property.
And we got.
They had, I don't know if they still do, but last week when I did the light check, they had a.
They got a dumpster.
It's not a dumpster. It's like a storage thing sitting there.
No, it's dumpster. It's a big dumpster.
Well, I thought the end of it was open.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they're walking into it, dumping into it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's a big one. It's a 15 or 20, you know.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's a big one.
I had to call Mestel because she didn't like it sitting out there. And I don't know what she
did. Well, how long will it take to fill that up a few bags at a time?
I don't know.
I've seen trees and stuff, you know, limbs and stuff sitting around.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
they have had some stuff going on in their backyard, too, I think.
Yeah.
But that fence, they don't have a fence up. They've got, like, I don't even know what it is anymore. At one time, I thought it was a mattress, then I thought it was a table. I'm not even sure what it is. But evidently, they have dogs that they let in and out. And they just move that piece of whatever and let them out, and then they put it back. I don't know.
Why?
That's my report. I'll send you the updated one.
All right. Commissioner Campbell, we'll just go down the road here.
Okay. On 5/11/2020, Safety Co. installed 28 no parking on street anytime signs, as well as one no outlet sign, and reset two street stop sign poles that were crooked. I accompanied them during most of the installation time. Once I saw them and realized they were installing, I'd asked them to call me when they were going to come, and of course they didn't. And ended up, there was like, I said, where's this sign? They said, we're done. We put up all the signs. So Bob and his 2:30 in the morning run around. He said, I found the ones they put it in the wrong spot. So I have asked them. I checked the sign locations on 5/14, and on 5/15 I sent a request to Safety Co. to have two no parking on street anytime signs moved. One from 4713 Middlesex to 3902 Northumberland Drive, and then they put the one sign too far down, so it's 40 to move it from 4705 to 4701 Middlesex Drive. And then I also requested they reset three more street stop sign poles that are leaning at the following locations: Bay Run Drive, Maxwell Court, Northumberland Drive and Chesterfield Drive, and Lunenburg Drive and Queen Anne's Court. and also ask that they move a small no parking on street sign from the corner of Bay Run Drive, Bay's End Court, and relocate it to 11905 Boynton Court. And then today, and I will put this on next month when I met with Steve and got this all done, or if you want me to, I can redo my...
No, no, okay. That's fine.
I'll just put it on next month's report.
All right, Commissioner Metcalf.
Drove city on multiple occasions. Mayor Stone and I went to the post office each Friday. I called Derby City Protection, talked to Officer Tate Mason, and requested him to talk to a resident on Bay Run Drive. They reported a gentleman walking his dog and not cleaning up after the dog. And he's supposed to do a follow-up on it. Answered two emails and two phone calls. And a Derby City Protection report, activity report. I don't have a complete one yet, so but they had two traffic stops. One of them was improper display intent, and one was no turn signal. And they gave one parking citation. That's it.
Well, they did pick up the drug dealer. Yeah, he didn't get the good one, but they did send us a report about a drug dealer that they basically caught in the city.
Yeah.
And the guy, he must have been on, he had 60-something ecstasy pills.
Ooh.
And then the guy was just rattling it off, and he says, oh, yeah, I distribute. You know, he says, I got more down at the house. They took him over to his apartment.
He doesn't live in the city, does he?
No.
Oh.
No.
Not far.
No, but he's not far, but let me put it this way. The guy, he got to this door, when we were talking to Tate, he got to the door and had second thoughts. And he says, well, I just, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do this. And he says, look, he says, you've already gotten me this far. You know, you might as well go ahead. We can call in and get a search warrant. If you want to, you know, keep doing this for another 2.5 hours. So he got in there and found not only more ecstasy until he found a white powder. They're having investigated. He did get arrested. The guy did get arrested. So I don't know where it went from there, but I just thought it was hilarious. I had to share it with you all because he wasn't even driving the car. He was passenger in the car. There was a tatted woman driving the car. Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to end?
I have just one thing to announce. I'm all excited about. Our next door neighbor with all the dogs has moved to Ohio. He loaded up 6 cars out of his driveway, garage, and backyard onto a car hauler, took those away, and took all dogs with him.
Okay. I just saw him again today.
He's been back to the house each weekend since he's been gone, but the street has been so quiet.
Oh, the
not
traffic.
All that traffic.
Oh, yeah. Well, good.
Yeah, when
he's
back, exactly. When he's back, there's a lot of traffic still. So I don't know how the word gets around that he's back in town, but his son is living there with his wife or girlfriend.
In Lombard Grove.
Is that what it is?
Must be.
Yeah. I was
going to say. We'll find out what Don Dukier says about it.
I know, but the backyard has not been cut all year.
Can we just do an ordinance where we can set fire to those houses? just get rid of them all together.
You and my husband. But anyway, he has moved. You know, he's a nice guy to us. We never had any trouble out of him. But he is gone and the dogs are gone. And
is the son going to stay?
The son is staying as far as I know, yeah.
We got to put some money together and get him a lot more.
And he's a very nice guy.
Sure.
Those people would park that big caddy right there on the cul-de-sac. Please ask them to stop.
Where are they parking?
Right as you come up the top of the, you know, to the work divide. They're right over here by that house. The one that would be caddy corner across from you. Last Wednesday night, I mean, it was sitting there, and it's scary how many cars are parked on these courts at night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they're parked on the courts now, they get tickets.
Good, because
Yeah.
They're getting tickets. I mean,
but our one is
awful.
Oh yeah.
Awful. I mean, even with my little soul, yeah. I mean, I have squeezed through that thing, you know.
Well, they know to start writing the tickets. They were getting them before with the tire on the grass or within 4 foot of the driveway or, you know, not parking within 6 inches of the curb. Okay, now we're really getting nitpicked on this, okay? But the thing was is now that the signs are up, they got the green light to write the tickets on the street. And they clean clock on Bay's End last Saturday morning. Because when I went in there, there was a car parked in front of the Williams house. There was a car parked, two car parked on the other side of the calls with the circle. And all of them had tickets on them.
Good.
And I had already talked to the owner last month when I was driving around at 2 o'clock in the morning. That the one car was there, and I put a little sheet of paper on it, and he was standing up in the window. Well, I knew they were going to come out, so I went up to Bay Garden, turned around and come back after I went through Bay Garden, and they were out there. And I just talked to him. I said, look, you can't be parking on the cul-de-sac. You're interfering with emergency traffic when you park out here. It's impossible to get a fire truck or even an ambulance around this circle. I says, when they're parked here on Friday, the trash trucks can't even get around. I says, you got to quit parking. Well, where are we supposed to park? Can't park in the driveway. I says, there's nobody in the driveway right now. Why are you parking on the street? He's a little cocky guy, okay? Mm-hmm. He reminded me of a guy that was on Tool Time, the oldest kid, okay? Had a little pud. Anyhow, this last weekend they had another party, and I didn't try calling Metro because of what happened the previous week when I reported the one that was up on Halifax. I was completely disgusted on that. That's why I'm no longer in lockstep with the governor or the mayor, because if it was so bad when I called last week, because I had 15 cars at a house that's a ranch that only has 1,100 something square feet unfurnished. You can't tell me with 15 cars there weren't at least 30 people in that house or pretty close to it. And I'm like, now if you ain't coming out to check on this stuff, then I'm like, why is the mayor telling us to report this stuff? And I mean, in our mayor's conference calls, he says just report it to if it's 311's not up, just have them report it to Metro Dispatch. Well, I called dispatch. They turned around and put somebody on the phone with me and said, well, we'll get somebody out there when, you know, as soon as they're off the call. There's nobody out there calling. I had paycheck.
I think a lot of people have used this as an excuse not to do a lot of what they should be doing. They're just saying, oh, we're just overwhelmed.
I know.
No, you're not.
Okay, do I hear a motion to end the meeting?
We'll make a motion to end the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. You all have a nice evening.